Thank you, Ms. Kindly. Several weeks ago, we're supposed to come in for the third of this series. And then I got a text when we were on the way that the church is canceled. I said, what? Yeah, there's no light. There's no power. And then we said we're going to come anyway. And we did. And Andy was here and a few others, you know. Jerry Turner and all that, we're all here, you know. And I was surprised that we were caught unawares by the kingdom of darkness. and we are supposed to be the children of light. And I got to ask the Lord, why? What happened? And then the Lord reminded me there are only two kingdoms in the realm of the spirit. Is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And both are always at loggerheads. Those are not united kingdom. They are always at war with each other. And I believed, I'm convinced in my heart that God had a word for us for that day. But the enemy wanted to steal it from us. Had he known the rising of Christ, he would not have crucified the King of Glory. Had he known that by delaying this, he would get a double barrel, he would not have taken those lights away from us that day. Amen. So I'm more expectant now of what God is saying than I was then. And what even confirmed the message that I was to bring, I had a message for today, was Jerry's testimony during prayer of how... was it Ofcom? Ofsted? Ofsted. Oh, yeah, came to check on you and to grade you, and then you had no lights. And I'm thinking, this is not a developing country. I mean, when is the last time you had a blackout, an outage in your own home? Hardly ever. And how is it that we are children of light and we are tested by darkness, but what Jerry did is to go through with the school, and the decision actually was his to make, whether school was on or not. And he decided to go through with school. And in the midst of darkness, teachers teaching without lights, his school was rated third in the country. What does that say to us? That the kingdom of light must overcome the kingdom of darkness. Amen. And the word that God had for us still has that word, because when we finished the series on transformation, we did not stop transforming. Amen. We didn't stop changing. And so allow us to go through what I believe the Lord had in store for us in the series of transformation and what he had for us to change when it came to our mind. We know the scripture we started with. That was our base scripture, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is in the New King James Version, Romans 12 and verse 2. I absolutely love to look at those words so that we can know what we are not to do, and so that we know what we are to do. We know English fairly well when you say don't conform. We understand generally what that means, but English is very limited, the English language, that is, not the English people. English language is rather limited when it comes to translating from some of these languages, and we know that the New Testament was written in Greek. So I went to my concordance and said, what does that word conform mean in Greek? So I pulled it out, and this is what it says. I forgive my pronunciation, but the word conform is sous ke matizo. It's a Greek, the Strong's Concordance number 4964. And this is what it says. It says it is to identify with. It is having an outward shape. It is properly assuming a similar outward form. by following the same pattern. You know, we are not to follow the same pattern of the world. Now, when you talk about the world, we're not talking about the earth, because the earth and the world are different. Amen. We understand that the earth is the Lord's. We understand the world is different. The world is cosmos, is the arrangement of things, is the system of this world, is the system or the God of this world. It is the spirit of this world. And John, in his epistles, writes and says that all that is in the world is not of the Father. For all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. None of that is of the Father. So Jesus says, we are in this world, but we are not of it. So when God talks about the world, he's not talking about the earth. He's talking about the system. And he says we are not to be conformed to this system, to this spirit of the world. That word conform means to be molded. So it says right there, to be molded, to model after. If ever there's a time that we need to obey that instruction, because that is not a request. It doesn't say consider not being conformed. It says, do not be conformed. It is a command. And when it says, do not be conformed, it means do not be modeled by the world or the spirit of the world. Don't be put into a mold, because what molds you defines you and then confines you. And we see the spirit of the world right now molding everything and confining everything. What you can say and what you cannot say. It's a perilous time to live in today, when you cannot preach what the word says, lest you be branded a phobia something. Can I preach today? It is a day when the world, especially when it comes to LGBT, Q plus, a whole lot of other letters there involved, when you cannot preach what the word says, lest you be branded a phobia this, a bigot that, molded, defined, limited. Yet God says, don't be molded. Don't be confined. Thank God for Pete, who preached about where our definition comes from. We are not defined by what we are, what we drink, or what we... We are not defined by our education. We are not defined by how much we earn. We are defined by Christ. But we are to be transformed. That word, metamorpho. Like I said, English is limited. When you take English, it defines Greek. One word and gives it one meaning, yet in Greek, there's a deeper depth. You take the word love, say, I love my dog. But Greek, there are three words to the same word. There is eros, there is agape, and there's phileo. Same word, yet English define it what? Love. So when we say we love God, and we love our dog, we say the same English word. But if you look at the Greek, if you go down to what the Greek said when they wrote it, you will get to understand that it is deeper than what we know in English as transform. We understand what transform is, but we'll understand more when we go to the language in which the Bible was written in and dig out more. Metamorpho. In fact, that word meta is a name by itself. 3326, meta means change after being with. So what gets me? Change after being with. We can only meta because we've been with. What changed? Simon Peter, a man who was known as the reed, he was wishy, he was a liar. He lied that he did not know Jesus. He lied. What would change a man so that he becomes a rock on which Christ said, now I call you Peter, Petros? What would change is because he had been with. What would change a bunch of cowards that were hiding in a room for fear of the Jews? Locked up in a room in John chapter 20 and verse 19. Locked up before the fear of the Jews. They were afraid. The door being locked, Jesus walks in. The door being locked. We can only be changed when we understand the significance of being with and coming before the presence of the Father. The same cowards, the same fearful bunch, 2-3 chapters later, they get the instruction to wait. They get a command to wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father. Peter leads them to the upper room, and now they are no longer cowards. Now they are praying, and they are waiting, and they are speaking the word. And when the day of Pentecost fully came, the presence of the third person showed up in the upper room. And the Bible says there was a sound out of heaven, like the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and to fill the room and to fill the city, because people heard it. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire. They appeared unto them. It's because they were with. They changed from fearful people to people who go out there and stand in the marketplace and preach a sermon that God would add to the church that day. Metamorpho. It was for a reason that Moses' face shone, that they had to put a veil. It's because his nature was changed because he had been with. It was for a reason that God gave him a pattern to build the tabernacle, gave him command on what to do and how to do it. Why? Because that was a shadow of the things to come. And he said, this is what you're going to do, this is how you're going to do it. Because the presence of God was going to come and dwell amongst people in the Holy of Holies, a place most people don't even know exists. And he said, you shall position three tribes on the north, three tribes on the east, three tribes on the south, three tribes on the west. If you look at it, God in the center, and it forms a perfect cross, a shadow of the things to come. And he says, there shall be an entrance. You shall come out from your social life, from your camps, and you shall enter his gate in the congregation, in the tabernacle of the congregation. You shall enter with thanksgiving. We enter, but that's not our destination. Pete preached it, that we can appear before the throne of mercy. The throne of mercy. God sits on his mercy. To him who sits on the throne, he has a mercy seat. Right now, that the door, in fact, there doesn't exist a door, because when the curtain was torn, when Jesus gave up the ghost, the curtain was torn, and we have access to the mercy seat. And he says, come boldly to the throne of grace so that you may obtain mercy and grace to help in the hour of our need. If at all there's a time we need to go in and be with, it is now more than ever. Because when we matter, when we be with, then morpho will take place. Metamorpho. Metamorpho. The morpho part is where our very nature is changed. Our very beings are changed. Jesus was transfigured, transformed, and his disciples are asleep. He was transfigured, and he was changed, and he was radiant, and even his clothes shone. Yet the church was asleep. I pray that we wake up to the hour we are in, so that we can access the presence of a holy God, a God who invites us so that we be changed. Nothing can or entered his presence. Nothing of the natural light entered his presence, even the tabernacle of Moses. You could not get into the holy place with natural light. There had to be the light of the candlestick. And then you couldn't access the Holy of Holies except one man, the high priest. Once every year, he would access it, not without blood. And yet when Christ died, we have access, every single one of us, every single one of us, to access the presence of the Almighty God in reverence and in awe. And we focus on him, and we come out of our social scenes, and we come into our spiritual atmosphere, our spiritual scene, so that we are changed from the inside out. And nothing changes until you change your mind. Nothing changes until you change your mind, because this was the main message of this subject. Changing your life can only happen when you change your mind. Change your life by changing your mind. Nothing changes until you change your mind. Why? Because it is necessary. It is not something that we opt in or opt out. It is necessary. So what it says in Romans 7 and verse 22, I've put it out in two versions there. I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned. Now here is Paul saying, you know, as far as I'm concerned in my born again part, I really want to do the will of God. And I believe that's every one of us who loves the Lord and has Christ in him. We really, really, really want to please God. But then there's a problem. There's a warfare. So far as my new nature is concerned. But there's something else deep within me that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin within me. In my mind, I want to be God's servant. But instead, I find myself still a slave to sin. Anybody can identify? Really want to please God. Really want to live for God. But because we don't know there is a spiritual warfare going on, we don't know that we are at war. We are to dress up for war. We are to put on the helmet of salvation. We are to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We are to put on the belt of truth and our shoes prepared with the gospel. We are at war. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We don't know we are at war, so we walk in and we are held captive. Yet in our spirit, we really, really, really want to please God. Paul said he would joyfully delight in his new nature. Every single one of us has a new nature. Why must I change my mind? Because we are the sum total of our thoughts. We are the sum total of our thoughts. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Proverbs, and that is 24 and verse 23. Look at what it says in the Amplified. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Your heart, your thoughts. You see, every single person born of a woman, male or female, born again or not born again, we have a heart. We are spirit. Okay. One quick scripture. That was not in my notes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." That is who a human being is. He is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. He is a spirit being because God said, "Let us make man in our image." God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Whether you are born again or not born again, you are a spirit. What is the heart of man? Is it the blood pump? When he talks about the heart? No, he's talking about your essence, your real you. The heart of man, Jeremiah says, is desperately wicked. What is the heart of man? The heart of man is made up of two components. Your spirit and your soul. Those two make up the heart of man. Your spirit and your soul. When you get born again, Jesus comes and resides in your spirit part of your heart. You don't get a brand new brain when you get born again. You get a brand new spirit. Talk to me, somebody. You become born again. You are a new creation in God. You become the temple of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't reside in your thoughts. He resides in your spirit. And then the soul, those two are so close together. It's only the word of God that can divide them asunder. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. The word of God is alive and quick, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the spirit and the soul. There is nothing else that can tear them apart. Now, your soul is made up of three things: your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's what the soul of man is. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. And because the two of them form your heart, what you put in your mind influences what you do, influences how you feel, influences your emotions. That is why we are to renew our mind. That is why we are to put in new information so that our spirit and our soul are in agreement. Change your mind, you will change your world. Change your mind and you will change your life. From the inside out. The real change, the genuine change, changes because we have been with. And when his word comes to us, it not just resides in our spirit, it influences our thoughts. It changes the way we think. In fact, it says, be careful. What does it say? How? It doesn't say what. You can bring out a people out of Egypt and make them free men. But their paradigm of thought is a paradigm of slaves. That's why they never got in to the promised land. Because of how they thought, not what they thought. They thought like slaves. And they fell in the wilderness. You can take a slave, or you can take a village out of the villager, but it's an entirely different thing to get the village out of the man. And that's where the change really comes, when we change how we think. We are to think as free. Say amen.
Amen.
It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We are to think as free. Because how we think will order our conduct. Your life follows your head. Where your head goes, your body follows. And your life is ordered by your thoughts. Don't have time. We must change because our mind is our executive office. That's where we execute from. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. The New King James Version of the same verse says, for to be carnally minded is death. And when I talk about the church, I'm not talking about Trinity. I'm talking generic. I'm talking the church, the world over. Most of the church is carnal in mind. And pursuit. That is why we are not carrying the change
That is a reality in the realm of the spirit, that we have been set free to set others free. But because men are more informed on carnal nature as opposed to spiritual nature, that's why we are not able to change
the world around us, influence the politics of the day, influence the way our lives are ordered. Because we are carnal, we are carnally minded. To be spiritually minded will transform, will change. Jesus did not conform. Amen. Jesus did not conform. We are being beaten to conform. What will change us? It's not winning an argument intellectually. It is by us being transformed. Because they'll look at us and they'll say, these men are unlearned, but they have been with Jesus. They'll look at us and they'll say, these people are endued with a different source of power. These people have a conviction that we cannot change them. We might kill the outside. The Bible says, fear him who can take spirit and soul, cast it into hell. Do not fear man. Because the fear of man brings a snare. We are snared when we fear what men will say. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. We try to see God. We look for him. But God is found in one place, the Spirit. A carnal mind cannot access, cannot please God. Amen. This is Bible. It's enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. You try to subject a carnal mind to a spiritual reality, it's futility. Wasting your time. That's why you don't cast your powers before someone. You don't start an argument with somebody who is where he is. You live your life in a new way. That life will witness and convict him. When he comes to a service and he receives a word with conviction, it is the Holy Ghost that will convict. You cannot change a man. Amen. I cannot change a man. Amen. It's only God who can change a man. Amen. And that man putting on the mind of Christ, that man being spiritual. Daily choices for a healthy mind. Choice number one, I must feed my mind the right stuff. People need more than bread for life. They must feed on every word. They must. It's not optional. They must. If it's important to you, you must. If pleasing God is important, then we must. If living the life of Christ is important, then we must. Feed on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Men shall not live by bread alone, but they shall live by the word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. The only way you hear the word of God is when you're in his presence. The closer you are in his presence, the less he has to shout. Because you know him. You're intimate with him. You're chained with him. When you're in bed with your wife, you don't have to shout. When you're intimate with your wife, Just a look says everything, and you respond. Just a look from the Father's face, and you respond. We need to get in to the Father to hear him. When do we need to hear this? Every day. I rise up early to cry out for help and to put my hope in your words. It's the word. It's the word. We're not crying out for the word. We're not crying out for God. If we're not seeking the word, we're not seeking God. Because God is found in his word. God and his word are the same. Oh. All day, Lord, how I love your word. I think about it all day long. I think about it all day. I think it's Psalms 10. That the psalmist talks about the wicked, and one of the things he talks about is that God is not in their thoughts. God is not in their thoughts, the wicked. God is not in their thoughts. How I would that God was in our thoughts. Not just in the service, but in every waking morning, moment, every duty we are doing, we have God in our thoughts. How do I do this, Lord? Does this please you? How does this look to you, dear God? How do we think about God all day long? It's about thinking about God all day long. That's how we think about God all day long. It's very simple. It's thinking about God all day long. But do we do that? We're taken up with the affairs of the world to the point that God is not in all our thoughts. Yet that's how we are to be changed. That's how we reflect Christ. That's how we be changed and transformed, even our very form, in every situation, even in the darkest of night. Your teachings. You know what is a teaching? It's an instruction. It's an instruction. Something you didn't know, you're instructed on how to do, but do you accommodate teaching? Do you accommodate teaching that does not have the opinion of men? God help us. Choice number one. Choice number two, I must seek to please the Holy Spirit. That's that's our pursuit. That should be our pursuit. That's our lives. Seeking to please the Holy Spirit. Those things, those who are dominated by the sinful nature, think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, think about things that please the Holy Spirit. We're too much into pleasing others at the expense of pleasing the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying displease people, but not at the expense of pleasing the Holy Spirit. Not at the expense of grieving the Holy Spirit. And putting him kind of like in the outer mode, while our social scene is the most important thing, while our economics is the most important thing, and we put God out. And we wonder, God, how is it that you're not ordering my steps? How about you thinking about God, and how about you pleasing God? Seeking to please God, whether you're plumbing, whether you're an electrician, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a banker, whatever it is that you are, how about seeking to please the Holy Spirit? Whether you're preaching, how about seeking to please the Holy Spirit? So that you say the things that makes the Holy Spirit smile. For those who are living according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, which gratify the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, His will and His purpose. Brought that out to bring that out. Setting our minds on His will for our lives. What is God's will for your life? What is His purpose for you? How about finding out from Him? And then seeking to please Him in it. And that's the only time we will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Because we sought to please Him. We sought to increase in what He told us that we should be doing. Choice number three, I must consciously keep my mind on Christ. Oh God, this is a tough one, eh? But it takes choice. We have to be conscious about it. Sometimes we wish we were not. We wish we would get genuine atheists and be knocked out so that we can follow God. It is our willful nature to consciously engage God, consciously think on Christ. Keep your mind on Jesus Christ. Keep your mind on Jesus Christ. When? Every time. All the time. Whatever time it is, that's the time to keep your mind on Christ. When you're cooking, keep your mind on Christ. When you're sitting on the throne, in the bathroom, keep your mind on Christ. It talks about all the time, keeping your mind on Christ. Does that mean never cook? Of course cook, but keep your mind on Christ. Does it mean don't drive? Of course drive, but keep your mind on Christ. Watch how you cut into that person. Okay. Keep your mind on Christ. He'll tell you what to do. For though we walk in the flesh, I think this is my last one. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. That there is a whole sermon in itself. Though we're in this world, we don't live according to it. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For why? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. They are mighty in God. We are changed when we come before the presence of a holy God. That's when we get equipped for warfare. That's why we're equipped for victory, because we're in the presence of. We are metamorphosed. I don't even know whether that's Greek or I just muttered it. We're changed because we are in the presence of. And when because we're in the presence of, we are adorned. We are anointed for war. We are anointed to win. We are clothed so that when we come out, nobody can touch us. The devil touches you not when you keep yourself in the love of God. Says what? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down. What are those weapons for? They are for pulling down strongholds. And watch this. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. One scripture says, bring it into captivity. Rick Warren said that in the series when he was teaching on it, that you don't have to believe every thought, right? You don't have to believe every thought. You need to weigh it against the knowledge of Christ. What does God say about this? What does God think about what I'm thinking about? Would I be pleased or would I be ashamed if he showed up and he said, what were you thinking about? Yet, understand this, he already knows what we're thinking about. There's nothing that is hid from him. He sees it. He knows it. And that's why we walk in the reverential fear of God, not the terror of God, but the reverential fear and respect of God, because he knows everything. He sees everything. And everything he says to us is for our good, is for our benefit. When we change, we are the ones that change. It's just the same thing like when we preach the gospel to those who are not saved. You tell them, listen, if you get saved, you will not go to hell. God is not saying, God, don't go to hell for his benefit. He's saying, don't go to hell for your benefit. Because it is not God going to hell, it is you going to hell. Whether you believe it or you don't, there is a hell. Somebody will wake up and wake up in hell. Because now people are debating whether it's heaven or hell. God help us. In defiance of the word, the world, the cosmos is molding and confining our faith to the point that we are afraid to live out, to speak out our faith according to scripture and call things that be scriptural, call them out without fear, in love, without condemnation. For there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, the anointed one and his anointing, who follow after the Spirit. For the law of life in Christ Jesus has set them free from the law of sin and death. There's no condemnation for any one of us. But we have a part to play. We have a part to engage God in changing our minds, in changing us. That we present ourselves and we willfully engage with God for our benefits, so that we can pull down strongholds and arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I close with this. Our starting scripture, do not be conformed. That is an instruction, that is a command, but be transformed. Every eye closed, let me pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word, the reading of your word. I pray that you will be the single most
biggest, greatest desire of our hearts to seek after, to be in the presence of, to be with you, so that we can be changed. Our very natures can be changed so that we can put on Christ, we can put on his nature. I pray today, Lord, that you would grant us the courage, like we were told here by Duncan a few weeks ago, that we would have the courage to be uncommon, that we would have the courage to stand out for what we believe in and stand strong for what we believe in and be vocal about what we believe in and not be ashamed, because we know we stand before the throne. There is shame. It's not a name before your throne. You took our shame. So shame is not a name that stands before your throne. Having been with you, Lord, freely we receive, so that we can go out and freely give, not being ashamed of the name that we carry, not being ashamed of the faith we confess. Grant us the courage to be sons and daughters of God, mature enough to carry the responsibility of the kingdom of God to a dying world. Grant us, O God, the grace and the help to do this. In Jesus' name.